This reading this morning is from the second letter of Paul to Timothy, chapter 2, verses 8 through 15. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. That is my gospel for which I suffer hardship, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is sure, if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind us of this and warn them before God that they are to avoid wrangling over words, which does no good but only ruins those who are listening. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved by him, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightfully explaining the word of truth.
And so the Spirit speaks today to us to remind us that we are not alone and that God is faithful. I'm grateful today for the ministry and word of Brother Madigan. That song really touched me, and I had not heard it before today. The same time you heard it was when I got to receive it as well, and it is beautiful. God bless you, brother. Have you ever been in a moment in your life, a time when there was someone you absolutely wanted to impress? You wanted to make them so proud and see the biggest smile on their face, and you would have done anything in this world to have that moment. Have you been there? I have been there so many times in my life, so many times, too many to count. But there is one moment that I remember as if it just happened this morning. I was a student in Memphis High School, and I was still thinking through what I want to do with my life, Brother Matt. I wasn't so sure yet. I was thinking it through and wondering what the Spirit would say, and I had a teacher. Didn't we all have a teacher? We had a teacher, didn't we? Someone that was so encouraging and someone who could see beyond my adolescence and my small stature. I wasn't 6 feet yet, y'all. I was still working it out. But yet, Miss Donna Reed, a tall white woman in Memphis, Tennessee, 6'3 in stature, and someone that could catch your attention just with her eyes. Miss Reed, she was someone who touched me, and she was someone who made it possible for me to even be here today. For I didn't choose medicine, no, but I chose medicine in another kind of way. You see, I remember being in her classroom all those years, being a student leader and working with different groups in the school around medicine issues and wanting to really be focused on what's happening in this world and how we as future doctors can make a difference. And it was Miss Reed. It was Miss Reed who, at the end of every class, would come to me and say, "Roderick, I want you to be a leader. You are born to be a leader." Hey, you may not believe it, and you may not even understand what I'm saying, Roderick, but just trust me, you can do this leader thing. And I remember sitting in her room and thinking, I have a girlfriend I'm trying to hold on to. What what are you talking about, this leadership thing? I want to get a cell phone that I can use today so I can call my girlfriend. And here you are talking about this leadership thing. Well, long story short, I stayed active in those groups. I remained true to those programs. I became president of various groups and everything. Got to the state level of some of those organizations, state president, all that stuff. And I remember, just like it was this morning, when I ran for state president and won, Ms. Reed looked at me and she said, "I want you to make us proud, even more proud than you already have." and I went to college, and I ran at the national level, and I won that. And I remember calling Miss Reed and saying, Miss Reed, I ran for national president, and I won. And I remember her saying to me, remember your school's name. You see, the conversation had changed to Fairview. It wasn't so much more about me or me making folks proud. It was about the school. It was about the identity. It was about our name. For you carry us with you now into all those rooms and conferences and opportunities that you're going to have as national president. You now represent East High Mustangs to the entire world. Remember your school's name, she said. Remember that. Oh, I felt the bricks. I felt that weight. You see, those weights were more heavy than getting into college, and those bricks were heavier than even winning office or making those speeches, you see, because Ms. Reed, the woman I wanted to please, said, remember that. Remember your school's name. When I think about that, and when I consider how I felt hearing Miss Reed's words, I can only imagine how our friend Timothy felt when he read, yes, the letters from his friend, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. You see, what we understand about those texts is that these were written by a person to a very, very close friend. Here was someone who spent his time and his energy and, just like Ms. Reed, poured his resources into friends to create churches all around Central Asia. Timothy was one of those people. He was one of those foot soldiers who took the charge and created the churches in his community, those house churches they were called. And so for Timothy to receive not just a note, and not just a reminder, but actually something much greater than that, a charge, something to carry with him into his future, into his life, these letters, that means something. Can you imagine Timothy doing his work and starting Fairviews all over his town and then coming to the realization that he has a letter from his friend? This is important. I have to read that. It has something to teach me. I think Timothy felt the same way I felt when Ms. Reed said, remember that. I somehow believe that in my imagination today, when Timothy received that letter, he knew this would change his life. And as I read those letters, and as I try to understand exactly what's going on in that time and in that context, and understanding that I can't know absolutely everything because it was over 2,000 years ago and our history books can only say so much, there are a couple things that I do believe I can offer today that the Spirit wants us to understand, regardless of whether those letters were written yesterday or 2,000 years ago. One specific thought that I believe so much in is this idea of faithful living. You know, we heard today about God being faithful and how so much so in our lives we are a people that are called to do great work in this world, but understanding that we can't do it alone and that it takes a faithful God to push us and to propel us and to give us the energy to continue in this journey. All of that may be true. But every now and then we need some what I call some spiritual gas and some fuel, some fodder for the struggle. See, I don't know about you, but every now and then, I need to be reminded that I'm not alone, Fairview. I need to be reminded that even though I know as much as I can possibly know in my heart that God requires love because God is love, we still need to be replenished. And I think that the letters to Timothy are nourishing letters. You should read them sometime if you haven't already. And one powerful thought that comes through is this idea of doing your best. You see, the first word that comes from the last verse of that wonderful text, it says, do your best to present yourself to God. The important words here are, do your best. Now, who hasn't heard those words before? Whether we're 30 years old, 3 years old, 13, or otherwise, We've heard those words, just do your best. And I may not be the best person in the world at playing basketball or understanding all about calculus and things like that, but most of us understand that we are good at something, and we understand that we may not be the greatest saints in the world, and we may fall on our faces sometimes trying to do good works, but at the end of the day, we somehow need to be reminded that God is not concerned about what we have and whether we are the best gifted or the most gifted. God wants our personal best, like Miss Reed wanted mine. You see, it's not so complicated when we seek to understand that because we were created by a heavenly God who is able and so great and so large, our resources being unlimited, we only then to offer what we have, our little bit of energy, our little bit of talent, to do a good work right where we are. The prayer of confession that so many traditions use goes like this. We confess that we have sinned against you, God, in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. I want to focus on that last word, undone. You see, let's be honest, Fairview. Sometimes the things that we have left undone are because we feel like we're not capable. We somehow feel that we are not right with God. And if I can't do that little thing, and if I don't do that, or if I don't make that phone call, or if I don't have this amount of money in the bank, I'm fearful of what he will say, and I'm fearful of what she might think about me. See, I believe that so much of what is left undone in our walks, it's often because of a fear of failure. I've been there. Have you? There are persons who have gotten the impression that God is a kind of accusing parent who is never satisfied with our attempts to bring honor to the cause of Christ. God is somehow never satisfied. They have this feeling that they cannot do enough or be enough unless they have everything and come up perfect every time. I think I heard a phrase that said something like, the hurrier I get, the behinder I get, something like that. It can be that way sometimes with our spiritual effort. That is true. I truly appreciate that so often in our lives, fear drives a lot of the choices we make, and it keeps us from moving forward in confidence with a big God and a big heart. But this demanding, never satisfied God, that's not the God that Timothy read about. It's not the God that we sing about. It's not the God that I preach about. No, Lord, because I wouldn't preach about that God. I'd be doing something else, maybe doing heart surgery or something. I would not believe in a God that is never satisfied. Timothy's God is concerned, however, that Timothy do his best. That is what Timothy's God is concerned about, and I believe mine is too. In our life with Christ, it is better to aim for the stars and only hit the moon than to aim for nothing and score a direct hit. I really believe that today. Do you? Timothy is to do his best for God. And if you really think about it, Fairview, I mean, if you really get down to the brass knucks of it, here is the source of the strength that Timothy's talking about. God does not pick and choose. God does not compare one to the other. God does not compare Timothy to his friend, the writer, and God does not compare us to each other. Timothy is to do his best. She is to do her best. We our best. Timothy is not to reach more folks than Paul preached to, or write more letters than his friend wrote, or walk on water like Peter. No, it's not like that. You see, he is to do his very best for God, and in doing his best, he will bring honor to the cause of Christ and be numbered with those who come to know the joy of faithful living. There's a story that we may remember about Jesus and the parables, the talents in Matthew 25, Jesus and the talents. Jesus tells this parable of a master who went on a journey, and just before he left, this master gave his three servants some assets, his assets. And the sums of money that we learn about in that parable are actually quite large. One servant is given 5 talents, and one servant is given 2 talents, and a third person is given 1 talent. And we learn that because of that time, that was a lot of money. You know, we're talking big money in that day. And when the master comes back, he calls his servants in. He says, "What have you done with what I gave you?" What have you done with what I gave you? You see, the servant who managed 5 talents, he made them 10. And the servant who had 2 talents made them 4. But the one servant who had the 1 talent, he didn't do so well. Didn't come out all right. You see, he was afraid of taking a risk. He let his fear of failure keep him from his purpose. He let his fear of failure keep him from remembering his family name. So he just locked the talent away. He just locked it up and saw no increase. But the first 2 servants, the ones who received an increase, the words they heard were simple. "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." The last servant was read the riot act. It didn't go so well, guys. It just was not good. Because he hadn't even tried. His portion of the assets were given to the first servant to manage, and he received not a good report. When we do our best to bring honor to the household of God, we will share the joy of the servants who heard those words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." And if that's true, Fairview, I mean, if we truly understand that God loves us so much and has given us so much, and that we should feel free to move forward, to take risks, to grow our ministries, to grow our families, to do all that we can for those around us. If we understand that, and if that's truly true, then what's holding us back? I mean, we don't simply worship for the sake of worship. For those who have, if you've come here more than once, you know about this great God we sing about. You've heard about it. You've heard it preached to you. So what is it? As we look at a world that is so technologically driven and in many cases detached from itself, lacking in spirit because we're so focused on the next minute instead of the next time, the next generation, we're not really thinking about what our actions do or how they impact others. But what does that mean? And how do we get through that? How do we work through that? What is God truly saying? What lesson have we yet to learn? That's a hard one, but I'm glad you asked. For in the letter, I think there is one more fascinating thought that comes through. I'm sure there are others, but this is what the Spirit gave me. It's the idea of faithfulness. It's the idea of being faithful to something. Now, for those who are married today or have been married, you have sort of heard about this faithful thing before. You've been introduced to the idea of faithfulness, so this isn't so new to you. But let's rethink about it. Let's revisit that, because there's something there that may be able to instruct us. And it's very simple. Just like Ms. Reed told me to remember the Mustang name, the writer in the letter to Timothy says 3 words that ring similarly. He says, "Remember Jesus Christ." Remember Jesus Christ. Which actually moves us to a new question. So if I have to remember Jesus Christ, then where do I get the strength to live faithfully by remembering Christ? See, I can talk about Christ all day, but what is it about Christ that somehow I just haven't allowed to sink in just yet? And the Spirit gave me this, Fairview. Strength for living a life is about bringing honor to a faithful God. In other words, because God is faithful, we are now free to be faithful as well. It's a very simple concept, but we must be reminded that because of God's faithfulness, we can now be faithful. Many Christians, not we, but many Christians, right? They think that if they do not remain faithful to Christ, or if they somehow think that they can produce their own righteousness, that somehow they'll be right with God. In other words, if I make Christ happy and if I do all my good works, if I just work and work and work and work and work and doing good and good, then I'm all right. I think that's not so true. I think there's something about that that we have to think about. That we don't somehow forfeit our salvation if we come up short today or tomorrow. We don't. We're still in the family of God. We are still in God's love. We're still in God's hand. Is it really our faithfulness and our righteousness that actually keeps us from God? Or is it God's faithfulness and God's righteousness that sustains us? Is not God's best the best of the best? I must give God all the glory for that, because there was a time in my life when I felt that by having faith in Christ, I'd be saved. But after consulting many translations and talking to people and hearing how people think about themselves in the face of God, I somehow now believe that it's not about having faith in Christ. It's first about having the faith of Christ. It's about having the faithfulness of Christ, which comes from God. By having Christ's faithfulness, we can then be faithful to the God who created Christ. It's a very subtle difference, but in my mind and in my spirit and in my imagination, I believe that we somehow avoid risk and we somehow embrace fear because we somehow don't believe that we believed enough. But if we choose instead to focus on the one who believed to the intimate and to the ultimate, his own life for the cause of Christ, maybe then we can be freed and we can be unshackled and, just like the gospel itself, be unchained to do good work for God. I don't hear an amen today. I just don't hear that. But that's all right, because in my spirit, I believe that God is telling us, don't worry about the small stuff. It's already been taken care of. Christ has been resurrected. The Spirit has spoken. And so now we as God's church, we as God's people can now be free to worship, and free to be hopeful, and free to be full of joy, and free to give of ourselves, free to help this community, and free to be environmentally conscious, and free to be mission-oriented, and free to help little kids, and to be Christian in this world. Amen. In this house, amen. So exactly what are the verses saying? The verses are saying that a believer's righteousness is of God because of the faith of Christ. Even if one does not believe that, it still doesn't change the truth, and that is that God created us. And because God created us, a Christian lives by the faith of Jesus, not faith in. Now, some may think that because of what I said, that you can't necessarily have faith in. I'm not saying that. I'm simply saying that it starts with having the faith of, which leads to the faith in. I believe if we start with that foundation as opposed to the previous one, perhaps we won't be so focused on the things that we can't change, and that is who we are. Will you dare to believe that with me today? God left nothing uncovered by giving us his faithfulness in Jesus Christ. Christians at many times doubt their faith, but we cannot doubt the faith of Jesus Christ. Relax in your Savior. He has done it all. No need to fear, because it is fear that carries us through. All the struggling that one does with his faith is nothing but a struggle that distracts from the real deal today, Fairview. We know what the real deal is. The real deal are the least among us. The real deal are the folks who are detached from their homes and neglected in their works, and those who live as second-class citizens because they somehow believe that their love is destined for someone who is a similar gender or sex that they are. We're talking about the folks in this world who don't know Christ, who need to know that this love is universal. You see, the real deal is that there is a world that is dying spiritually, and we are the spiritual folks, the stuff that the world needs, the ingredients that will enliven the bread and bring hope to a world that needs Christ like never before. What I'm talking about today is we are the real deal. We are the saviors for this world. We are God's hands. How can struggling over a question that's already been asked and answered please God? The real question is, how can we help? The real question is, what is there left to do in this world that has not been already taken care of? Environmental stuff. We're talking about issues with families, and we're talking about communities. We're talking about growing this church beyond these walls so that Costa Mesa and Orange County can truly understand what it means to live in God's love. We can't do that by focusing on the things that don't matter. We must trust and we must relax in God. Know that everything is from God. It has nothing to do with our own merit, and it has everything to do with what Christ did. That's what pleases God. I can tell you in my heart, I can tell you that there was more than one occasion when one teacher, like Ms. Reed, would say, remember your school's name. And that would mean a lot to me. And there were times in my life when I wanted to forsake that name. I wanted to forget about it. I wanted to just do my own thing. But when you've assumed a name, when you've taken on an identity, when you've chosen to believe in something that's greater than yourself, there is a responsibility. There is a charge. There is a need to move forward and to do good works. In other words, that name is pointless. It is powerless if we diminish it. That name means nothing if we choose to focus on other things than that name, the name of Christ. We're talking about people who need to be free today to live a life of love and purpose. We are those to bring that charge to them. Faithful living is a gift that comes from the God who does not compare us with anyone else. We remember who we are. And what are we? We are members of the family of God. Or put differently, we are the family of love. And so what does it mean to be a member of that family? And what does it truly mean to be a part of love? Well, it means that we don't hold each other's sins against each other. It means we celebrate truth and understanding. It means we don't desire what we don't have. Means we care for the least more than we care for ourselves. Means we don't seek domination or control. Means we hype each other's successes. If you win, I win. It means we put up with everything. Always looking for the best and wanting God's best for everyone around us. And not only that, we remember whose we are. You see, we are redeemed by the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, and we belong to God, Fairview. We belong to a great God, Fairview. We are grateful that God invites us to come very near today. We're not separate or set apart. We are a part of God's heart. And because of that, we are as close as ever. We are plugged in to the energy, the fuel, the very spirit that propels us for a life of work and purposeful living. We give thanks that God chooses to come close to us in God's Holy Spirit. We press gently through our days and through those lives with courageous faith, the faith of Christ that stood up to sin and evil and won. God provided the person of Jesus Christ in whom we have caught a vision of divine faith. Blessed us with each other, we who are each living miracles. Take courage in knowing that the Creator of all things surrounds us. The beauty of special places places us at rest in her heart. Welcomes us into her love and desires that we act as children seeking compassion and mercy for those in special need. When we fail, she picks us up and holds us close and teaches us to walk again, to live again, to love again. Teaches us to walk through dangerous days as ambassadors of her peace in our communities and in our world. I hope that as you leave today, you remember that name, that you remember your family name, Christian and love and God who is love. When you encounter situations and circumstances that test your struggles, remember who you are. When you come across that issue on your job or with the family issue or somehow you just can't quite figure out this job situation, don't forget who you are, that you can live faithfully even in that situation and that you don't have to be the meanest person on the block. You can remember who you are. You are a part of the family of love. And not only that, Fairview, not only that. When you are faced with trials and tribulations and situations that seem so insurmountable, you just can't get over that. Remember whose you are. You are not one whistling in the wind. You are not on the ocean alone. You have the greatest boat one could ever have, the vessel of God in God's heart. You have that. Remember that. Rest on that. And when you do that, your best will be more than enough. Amen in this house.